This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Happy day.
Carpet, throw those balloons up in the air, my friends. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I was up all night watching, not all night, but I was up for a long time watching those returns, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, he was up too. We thank you for joining us. It's Wednesday, November the 3rd, and we're going to be talking a lot about the elections in both Virginia and in New Jersey for the governorship. It looks like there may be a twofer for the Republicans. We'll see. In a few minutes, though, we will be talking with Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to turn our attention with her to the Texas Heartbeat Act. It's now being scrutinized by the Supreme Court, whether or not it's going to stay on. It prevents abortion after about 6 weeks, and it allows private citizens to sue if an abortion is attempted. So we'll talk about all of that with Sarah. And while Republicans celebrate in Virginia, and I think they're waiting optimistically right now in New Jersey, Democrats are in a rather depressive fog, are they not? We're going to talk about how this may play out with the Donald Trump backers. Yeah, with the Donald Trump people. And we'll talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And was there voter fraud in Wisconsin? It looks like there might have been. We're going to take a look at how it played out, how it happened in the 2020 election a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most anxious cities in America. I think there's a couple of them right now in Virginia, maybe Washington, D.C. itself. But we'll talk about the 10 most anxious cities in America. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barber in Tampa Bay for men, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I mean, they are the best. They also have a great price. It's also a great place to be. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They're located in the Overcash Plaza. That's just north, State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. And also, as long as you're out in that area, if you've got car trouble, I'm going to recommend the best car repair shop in Tampa Bay that I have found, Countryside Automotive. It's right behind the Columbia Plaza. Columbia Plaza is just west of State Road US 19 on 580. Just west of US 19 on State Road 580. Slip in there, go around the back, and I'm telling you, Chris and Jay will get your car purring like a kitten, no matter what the problem. They do it at a great price. By the way, check them out at Google. They get rave reviews on Google. You see how highly rated they are. It's Countryside Automotive, just behind the Columbia Plaza. Take the service drive around back. Follow it to the end. There they are. Believe me, it's worth the trip. Okay, well, we got the Virginia race going on. They also, a lot of us maybe didn't notice it, but did you notice that Minneapolis voters rejected replacing the police department with some sort of a safety group? Minneapolis voters struck down a proposed charter amendment that would have eliminated the city's police department and replaced it with a public safety agency. Can you imagine? I'm just surprised the vote was so close. 57% said, no, we don't want that. But 43% thought it was a good idea. Holy Toledo! I mean, I'd like to talk with somebody that believes you should replace the police department in Minneapolis. I want to just see how they think. This is stupid. Can you believe it? They asked if the city charter of Minneapolis should be amended to remove the department. Public safety, what are you going to do? You're going to call public safety when somebody's trying to break into your house or did break into your house? What the hell are they going to do?
Think of all those criminals that would have been shaking in their boots knowing the Minnesota Safety Patrol was on the way.
They're on the way.
Think of all those high school hall monitors that could have had a job.
Hey, listen, we get rid of the police department. Look at all the money we save. I'm sure crime will go down, you know. We'll have public safety people stop speeding drivers, drunk drivers, right? How about them stopping bank robbers? That'll be fun. That'll be fun. People that accost other people. Let's have public safety take care of that problem. How stupid have we become? Is it any dumber than the $450,000 we're going to pay illegal immigrants if they're if we separate the children from the parents as they come through? Anyway, some sense of logic came back to Virginia and possibly over in New Jersey as well. Now, the leading lights of the Democratic Party, including Biden, Obama, Vice President Kamala Harris. Hey, did you see? As long as you were watching it, Ed, did you see that nutbag teachers union woman jumping up and down, supporting McCall? That was another one that helped spur on.
Yeah, she was on something.
I forget her name, too. Anyway, she's been leading the charge to get Terry McAuliffe elected as well. So we had all those people, and they were all good reasons why.
Analyst saw her and said, are the Democrats trying to throw the election by having her out there?
You know what's funny? She has no children. And yet she's head of the teachers union. What does she know about raising children and their needs? I'm sure she's a nice woman that way, but come on. You know? Anyway, and the name will come to me down the road here. But Glenn Youngkin, we're going to start remembering that name. He mostly campaigned on his own. He kind of rejected having Trump wander alongside of him, you know. I think he did worry a little bit about the negativity of Donald Trump to some Republicans, because they needed to bring out all the Republicans, get them all stirred up. But in the meantime, the race for governor in New Jersey, that was one that you didn't even see coming. And yet right now, not only is it too close to call, I think the Republican, Jack Cirielli, is clinging to a lead. So we'll see where that goes.
Last I saw was about 1,500 votes.
Yeah.
And across the river there, the mayor race for New York, de Blasio, of course, is out.
He's going to run for governor.
I believe his name is Eric Adams.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Now, he is a Democrat, but he's not that far left kind of
wacko. He's pro-police.
And very probably he's going to refund the police or infund it, whatever the opposite of defund
he's
is.
He's going to fund them. He's going to make sure that they get the money they need. I mean, it's just common sense. It's just Minneapolis with George Floyd took that city and turned its logic on its ear, you know, with that defund the police movement. And of course, it wasn't the only city that thought about doing it. But come on, man, as Joe Biden would say, where are your brains? Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, looking forward to talking with Sarah Perry on the Texas Heartbeat Act.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. I guess you could call it a post-election day. In a year from now, we're going to have the congressional elections, are we not? That'll be interesting. I wonder if they're going to go the same way. We'll see. Delighted to have Sarah Perry join us. She is a legal fellow for the Meese Center of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Texas Heartbeat Act, which is, by the way, before the Supreme Court. And whether or not this thing is going to survive. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. I find this to be a very interesting topic. I guess this is the second time this legislation, the Texas Heartbeat Act, has come before the court. Is that right?
The second time it's been up. The first time the Supreme Court declined to stop the act going forward. And this is now a time where the Supreme Court's going to have an opportunity to review it on the merits. And there are actually two cases at issue here. The United States has brought suit against the entire state of Texas for declining to help women get abortions in the state. It's asserted that it has a right constitutionally to protect the interests of women in Texas. And then the separate case is actually Whole Women's Health versus Jackson. And that is sort of a merit decision on whether or not this particular civil enforcement mechanism can actually be utilized for a constitutional right. And remember, this is a standard Heartbeat Act, but it has one defining characteristic. Instead of using state officials like the Attorney General to actually enforce it, it uses individuals like you and me who, if successful, are entitled to a $1,000 fine for every violation of the Heartbeat Act. So it sounds to me, based on what we heard in oral arguments on Monday, that the United States won't be able to go forward, that they will lose their case because they don't have an injury they can demonstrate to the court sufficient to bring a suit. But on the flip side of that, it sounds like perhaps the Supreme Court may allow the Texas Heartbeat to be enjoined. In other words, they may put it on ice for at least the time period until we get an ultimate outcome in the big abortion case in Dobbs.
Yeah, and is that the one coming from the Mississippi case? Everybody's kind of waiting on that one. I'm just wondering if this might be a precursor.
Yes, indeed. This is going to be heard in a little less than a month from now. It's going to be oral arguments on the Mississippi Gestational Age Act passed in 2018, and that goes to the merits of the abortion question. In other words, did we actually find the constitutional right to abortion? If you restrict abortion before viability, is that unconstitutional? So it's going to be a very big decision. And if they put the Texas case on ice, it may ultimately not matter, because if Roe versus Wade is overturned, all of abortion policymaking will go right back to the states where it's always belongs.
Yes, indeed. I am old enough to remember that 1973 decision, and I thought to myself, you know, this is it seems to be it was in the realm of behavior, and shaping behavior federally to me was it's just the same to me as if you can impose restrictions or non-restrictions on things like sexual preference. It's kind of a behavioral issue, but I always thought it belonged in the states. And
yeah.
And they hide behind, I guess, the Privacy Act, the Fourth Amendment, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me on that. But it had to do with privacy. And I thought, somehow, privacy means that you, behind closed doors, can get away with killing an unborn child?
Right.
That's the way I always looked at it. You go ahead.
They actually took that right to privacy from a previous case in the 1960s called Griswold versus Connecticut. And that pulls from the 14th Amendment due process clause the ability for states to protect the privacy of individuals in things like making medical decisions. And Griswold versus Connecticut was a case about contraception. So the Supreme Court was really straining on this one. And even liberal jurists have said, boy, this was patent overreach. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who herself was a very staunch proponent of abortion rights, said this was judicial overreach. It's hard to defend Roe as a matter of constitutional policy. Now people are trying to defend actually keeping Roe versus Wade because it has ultimately made a mess of all abortion restrictions. We've seen everything from hospital admitting privileges to partial birth abortion bans to fetal heartbeat bans. It really has made a mess of what ultimately should have been in the states from the beginning. And in fact, very much like, as you rightly mentioned, the right to same-sex marriage. That's why California, for example, in its own Proposition 8, attempted to pass that particular amendment to the California Constitution unsuccessfully. But we have tried for a very long period of time to make sure that that 10th Amendment right to give the states purview and jurisdiction over the things that are not explicitly in the Constitution has not been tampered with. And Roe versus Wade is a perfect example of how it really has been messed with.
Yeah, I misspoke when I said the Fourth. It was the 14th Amendment, like you rightly corrected me on, where the privacy issue came in. And it was, to me, it was just a reach around, you know. And I thought to myself, here's a good argument. If you can snuff out the life of a child at a certain point in its gestation towards birth, why stop there? I mean, you know, parents, why don't they get the right to maybe to allow it to occur up until the age of reason, say seven, age seven? You know, I never heard a good argument as to why that, you know, could not be the case. But anyway, getting back to this situation, Sarah, with the makeup of the court, and I don't know, have you been listening to any of the questions on this case by any of the Supreme Court justices? Can you get a sense of where they might be on this?
So on the set of cases related to the Texas Heartbeat Act, I listened to all of oral arguments on Monday, and I think I'm in line with a lot of other conservative legal scholars who have said, here's how we think it's going to come down. Texas has a right to its own state sovereignty, and the federal government cannot come in and tell it how to legislate. So the United States case will most likely be dismissed by the Supreme Court. I don't think the Department of Justice will win. Mm. However, I do think, based on a line of questioning specifically coming from Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh, that there may be a temporary hold and possibly a permanent hold on the operation of the Texas Heartbeat Act within the state of Texas. In fact, it sounds like they may even enjoin, in other words, stop state court clerks from actually docketing these cases so that they cannot go forward. An individual could bring a suit, but the clerk would not file a suit and actually go forward. So this is going to present, I think, a 50-50 basis for a win for appropriate interpretation. And the two swing votes in this case, particularly for Texas and the right to pass its own laws, would be Kavanaugh and Barrett. And that's how I think it's going to come down.
Really? And everybody thought Amy Coney Barrett was quite conservative, and she has a beautiful family and the whole bit. You know, you would think she might be pro-life. But this is a kind of a technicality thing, isn't it?
It is simply a procedural question, and that's a great distinction. A lot of people think this goes to the merits of the abortion issue. Truly, this is about the right of states to legislate in a certain way so that they extricate a constitutional right out of governmental enforcement. It's never been done before. I think the justices are a little concerned that if this can be done on one constitutional right, like abortion, and again, big air quotes, because Justice Blackmun created the right to abortion out of thin air, but if it can be done for one constitutional right, why not for other constitutional rights, like lawful handgun ownership, or, for example, religious liberty or free speech? And I think that's going to prove sort of the crux of the whole issue, that they're a little concerned with the civil enforcement mechanism.
We're talking with Sarah Perry. As you can see, she knows her stuff. She's a legal fellow for the Mies Center at the Heritage Foundation, and we're talking about the Texas Heartbeat Act, currently before the Supreme Court. It's sort of the precursor, or whatever you want to call it, to this Mississippi abortion case, which may in fact determine whether or not the Roe versus Wade Act, which came out in 1973, will survive. You know, there are so many things, but I'm looking at the whole concept of our government, Sarah, which when our founding fathers created the Constitution and set everything up, they wanted a stronger state government than federal government. And I think that these cases kind of point towards their wisdom, that these things should be considered, whether it's the behavior of sexually or abortion-wise and some of these other things, that they should be taken on a state-by-state basis, not necessarily by a federal court. Your thought on that?
No, I 100% agree. I think that's an accurate representation. In fact, they were very concerned about governmental overreach. And in fact, that's why the system of federalism should operate in such a way that we've got ultimately individuals who are in their own states representing democracy and the state interests of their own people in such a way that the federal government does not get to meddle. That's the way the principles of federalism ought to work. It's ultimately what the founding fathers designed in the system of representative government, and that's what the 10th Amendment is ultimately designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 10th Amendment helped seal up, did it not? Seal up the responsibilities of the federal government, allowing everything else to be remanded to the states or the people themselves. Anyway, very interesting discussion. Thank you so very much, Sarah, for joining us. We're going to follow both this Texas heartbeat law and, of course, the upcoming Mississippi abortion case with great interest. And maybe down the road we can talk again. I think we lost her, did we not? No? You there, my dear? Well, maybe that's all she had to say. But anyway, that was Sarah Perry from the Heritage Foundation. Maybe she had to go and do something that was important there. All right, so let us take our break. And when we come back, we will be joined by the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci, going to talk a little bit about these about how Donald Trump and Donald Trump backers factor into what's going on right now with these elections.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, post-election Wednesday. By the way, Terry McAuliffe has conceded. Finally, Democratic Virginia gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe conceded the race to Glenn Youngkin, the Republican governor-elect, today, after news organizations called the result overnight. He said, while last night we came up short, I am proud that we spent the campaign fighting for the values we so deeply believe in. He says, congratulations to Governor-elect Youngkin on his victory. I hope Virginians will join me in wishing the best to him and his family. So that was very gracious.
And you remember going into this election, a lot of Democrats had all their eggs in one basket. Of course, you had Biden up there trouting for him, and then you had Kamala Harris up there, and former President Obama up there. And now, since he's lost, some of them are saying, well, it really wasn't that important that we won that election anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to belittle it. It's the old sour grapes. The fox couldn't reach them. He said, they're probably sour.
It's not
going to
change our plans. We factored that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We're good.
Well, we got the proprietor of the Barber poll. And I'm wondering how all of this plays out with Donald Trump. Now, Andrew Ceresi, Donald Trump was available, I think, but I'm not sure that the governor-elect of Virginia kind of wanted him side by side. What did you kind of get that sense?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, I'm glad you... I wondered because, you know, there were some Republicans maybe that would have been turned off a little bit by it. You know what I mean? I know that Youngkin, indeed, was glad that Trump would endorse him. But I don't think he ever had him standing side by side with him, did he, during this?
No. And you know what? If he did, he would have won by a lot more.
You think so?
Of course.
Okay.
Listen, well, Paul, everything going on right now with the Republican Party is all Trump.
Okay.
Okay. 78% of the Republicans want Trump to run again. And
true.
You know what? The other percentage is the 19 that are rhinos that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going to be gone come 2022.
So this bodes well for Donald Trump, you think, in 24?
Of course. Of course mm-hmm. it did.
Yeah.
Well, listen, people are fed up. It's like I told you.
That's true.
I knew the Democrats would lose for two reasons. The women and the dogs. Period.
The dogs?
The dogs. Listen, when McCuffey there started saying parents have no right in their parents' education or the kids' education, the mothers went insane. You aren't telling us what we're going to do.
That's true.
Her. Okay?
Yep.
And then number two, with Fauci with the dogs. You don't mess with the dogs.
Oh, you know, Fauci and the dog. Now I got it. Yeah, they're using dogs for experiments over there.
And I'm telling you, Paul.
Yeah.
That's what's destroying the Democrat Party more than the gas price.
Yeah. Don't mess with animals, especially dogs.
And
boy,
mothers.
Oh boy, you will turn off 90% of the people you start playing around with dogs.
And that's what they did. And if the Republicans are smart, this is what they got to lean on coming up in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling the Democrats are telling you what you got to do to raise your kids. We're going to teach them critical race theory. We're going to teach them they got to be gay and everything else. You know, so parents don't like that.
No, you're right. You touched on something I think very interesting. You talked about the mothers, and the suburban mothers of Virginia had a lot to do with the win by the Republican, and they were. I was watching some couple of the networks, but on Fox they were showing how all of. I mean, the entire state of Virginia is virtually red. There's only a couple of pockets of blue, but those pockets have more people in the counties, you know.
You know, Paul, nowadays, you know, some of these moms, a real masculine man with a mouth scares them, and that's put into society today. But, you know, in the old days, a real masculine man, the women loved.
Yeah.
They wanted a protective man. But the women's rights movements, oh, the man with the mouth. But you know what? When the mothers started...
They've emasculated men. They've emasculated men, the liberals.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you got the mothers now going to the store with the newborns, paying twice as much for diapers, twice as much for formulas, can't get half of the products they need. And these are the ones that voted for Biden because Trump was just a mean man, and we didn't like
Yes.
him. Okay, well, you know what? They're getting to like that mean man.
I think so, too. Especially when you see the prices and the lack of product. It's really hitting home. I mean, you go to the gas station, and you're spending almost $4 for a gallon of gas. Think about that. That's really affecting people. And they do blame Biden. And they do blame the Democrats for that. And the lack of product on the shelves.
Yes.
Supply chain. They blame Biden for that.
Yesterday, I'm at the barber shop, and here comes some guy in a little Porsche with a New York license plate on it.
Oh, I bet you couldn't wait.
And he pulls in sideways and takes up three spaces in my little parking lot with his car.
Uh-oh.
And he left the car running, and I didn't say nothing. And then he went into the little grocery store there, and Candy and Christine says, you know, you better go check on her. This guy left his car running out there. You don't know what's going on. He's been in there a long time. Okay, I'll go over there. I go over there, and here's this guy, gray scraggly hair in a ponytail, his mask on, and his pajamas. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
He's a liberal.
I just looked at this guy and I says, you know what? Did you move down here? Oh, no, I'm just busy. I says, thank God, because we don't want your liberal shutdown here.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Oh, well, you like Trump? I says, well, you know what? I says, why don't you tell me what Trump did wrong, you know, that you didn't like? He stopped all the illegal immigration. Gasoline was $1.50 a gallon. Food prices were down. Jobs were plentiful. What did he do wrong? Well, he opened his mouth. I says, yeah, like you. I said, look at you. I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. And he looks at me and says, well, were you ever in Vietnam? I says, no, but I was in the military. Were you? No, I wasn't. I says, I had two brothers that were in Vietnam, so I don't want to hear nothing out of you. I says, you know what? Why don't you go get a haircut, take off your mask, and get out of your pajamas and drive back to New York?
Yeah, and you could have given him a nice haircut.
Wasted my time.
You know? No, I know. That guy sounds like there was something wrong with him.
Yeah, he's just a typical liberal from New York with a big mouth.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to salute Candy and Christine because those are the two lovely ladies that work with you over there at your great barber shop. All three of you do wonderful haircuts, just wonderful haircuts.
We tried. They got a kick out of it yesterday. They got a kick out of it yesterday. They says, boy, if you were here the week before and that other liberal came in, we could only imagine what would have happened.
Well, tell us about that. What happened? Another liberal wandered in?
A new customer came in on a Friday morning. I wasn't here. And they both had customers in their chairs and a couple customers in the waiting chairs. And this guy goes, I can't believe you have him in here. And they thought they were talking about somebody in the chair. They thought they knew him. And he said, no, that effing Trump, you know, he's no good.
You had your life-size poster out of Donald Trump.
Don't. Yeah, I can't believe you guys have this stuff in here. And F all you people and F Biden or F Trump. And he stormed out of the shop. Well, 10 minutes later, first of all, Candy said karma's a B-I-T-C-H, you know that. Said karma's bad. So 10 minutes later, we get a phone call, and there's another barber says, did you guys just have somebody in there? They said, yeah, it was random. He came into my shop, and he started looking around. He was bad-mouthing how you guys got all this Trump in there and everything else, and all of a sudden, he turned white as a ghost when he looked around my shop because all he saw was Trump and guns.
Oh, my goodness.
And he goes, I told him, yep, you can get out of my shop, too.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
that is funny. Wow. Well,
and these people, Paul, they can never answer you what Trump did wrong.
True.
The way he talked. Well, you know what? If you got your freaking feelings hurt that bad how he talked, I feel bad for you in this world.
Yeah. And let's be honest, because I understand people going, boy, I don't like his personality. He's so full of himself, and he's always building himself up. Yeah, but look what he's done.
That's right.
Look, you know, forget about the personality. Look what he is doing, what he is trying to do. Separate the two. If you go to a hospital, you want the best surgeon. You don't care what his personality is like. That's you right. want that guy to save your life.
And half of these surgeons, their personalities are like a rock.
Exactly.
I got news for you.
They are.
Trump had a dynamic personality. You knew he was around.
Yeah, for me, he's fun to listen to. I mean, he gets himself in trouble because he can't help himself. He goes after all of these different people that he doesn't like. Let's be honest.
Tell you, he was right by going after him. It's like this guy was telling me yesterday, oh, look at how he talked about John McCain. I said, John McCain was a mutt. Trump was right the whole time. I mean, I feel bad he was a POW. I had two brothers in Nam, but the guy was a mutt. When I heard from people how he even treated his own people that were prisoners with him in Vietnam, let alone turn against his party, he was a big baby because he didn't win as president, so he had to come down on Trump. He was the one that started the Russiagate.
Yeah, McCain did have a lot of flaws, and if you got on his bad side, he was kind of a mean guy, too.
That's right.
You know, he had guts, though. He did have guts, and he did stay there and go through some hell. We got to.
I understand, and I give him all of that, but that doesn't mean you got to be an idiot.
No, you're right.
And he was.
You're right. Hey, your buddy de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is thinking about running for the governorship of your former state. What does he not realize that he's not electable?
Why not? They elected him for mayor.
Yeah, remember he ran for president. He dropped out with him after a cup of coffee running for president.
I hope he runs for governor and wins in New York.
You do?
People deserve what they get.
Oh, boy, God.
Of course.
Well,
they deserve it.
Do you think he could win?
I hope he would win.
You do?
So of course.
Why? Do you wish bad things for the Empire State?
That's what the people wish for. They already destroyed the empire.
Okay, so you... Okay.
New York was once a great place.
Yes.
Well, it used to be called the Big Apple.
It was now a beautiful city. It's like Chicago. I love the city
in
my hometown.
But you know what, Paul? They're done. They destroyed them.
Yeah.
It's now called the Rotten Apple.
So, speaking of cities, Minneapolis had a referendum to get rid of their police department. Can you believe this? And 43% of the people voted yes. We want a safety commission to come out rather than a cop. I can't believe it. Now, it went down, fortunately. It's all based on the aftermath of the George Floyd situation, where George Floyd died under the knee of a policeman. But still, we are turning logic on its head.
Paul, you got to realize Minneapolis is 80% Somalian now.
They do have a high rate of percentage. Yeah. Don't they have that woman, is it Ilhan Omar? Is she from Minnesota?
That's right. That's the one we're talking about,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, that's...
Barack Hussein Obama implanted 80,000 Somalians in Minneapolis, Paul.
He implanted them? How did he do that?
He shipped them there, like Biden's trying to do with the illegal immigrants here.
Yeah. They that's another thing.
Purposely.
That's another thing. Can't somebody slap some sense into Biden? Oh, by the way, I was watching him fall asleep overseas. Did you see that? He was sitting listening to some climate change commission. He was dozing off. I thought he had a stroke and they'd have to wheel him out of there.
Well, I heard a couple other rumors, too.
What? Okay, you better be careful now.
The Pope had to delay some kind of meeting for 2 hours because they said that Joe Biden kind of had an accident in his pants.
Oh, my God. All right.
There's enough.
I don't know about that one. Look, he's got enough trouble. Now he's incontinent. Okay, we got it.
All I know is I saw a picture of the Pope spreading his incense around him. And left the room. There's only one reason they do that.
Okay.
But
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so anyway,
Andrew.
He's embarrassed the Americans all over the world. And they had a picture the other day of Jill Biden sitting there saying, I wish this Brandon thing would please stop.
His
name is Brandon now.
I know. Let's go Brandon. Well, I think it's a wonderful salute to him. And
I
we're going to be hearing more and more of it, I guess, much to the chagrin of the liberals.
Well, after the World Series game on Sunday night when Trump was there,
yeah,
and there were 80,000 people chanting something, I really believe Biden is the most popular president that we ever had.
He's a very popular man. We can't get enough of him. Let's go, Brandon. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. And you know who made that for him? The media.
Yeah.
The media did that all for Uncle Joe.
I was telling Ed, I was enjoying flipping around on some of these other stations, listening to their perspectives. That, who is it, Don Lemon, is it, Ed, the black guy on CNN? Anyway, he was, you know, watching him and all of those others sort of melt down, you know, while all of this was going on. And, of course, it hadn't been determined yet that McAuliffe was going to lose the Democratic gubernatorial candidate in Virginia at that point. But boy, oh boy, they were making excuses, all kinds of excuses.
Well, look at New Jersey.
That's another one.
Right now, that's as close as it was that Ron DeSantis here. Ron won with 39,000 votes. And got the Italian man there, Citarelli.
It's only about 100,000, Ed was saying, right, Ed? It's about 100,000 votes difference.
Not even that high.
Yeah, very close.
But, I would like to see Mr. Citronelli take that, too.
Yeah, and it looks good for him. I mean, it's just amazing that he's Citarelli. We're going to have to learn how to pronounce that word. Jack Citarelli, the Republican there.
Well, you know, they haven't called that one yet because the Democrats are figuring out how many ballots they need to pull out of the mail truck that's right behind the
Yes, I'm a little worried about that as well.
They're figuring that out right now. But you know what, Paul? They won't get away with it this
year. Yeah. We are going to talk, actually, after the break here about what went on in Wisconsin. You may want to be listening to that. But as always, my friend, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to talking with you again on Friday.
All right, you guys have a good day.
And the same to you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Be good.
Andrew, the Master Barber. All right, let's take our break, and when we come back, yes, indeed, we're going to take a look at what happened in Wisconsin with mail-in voting and the like in 2020.
That little town flirt.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back with the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, always want to tell you that if you cannot listen to us live, and we are live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and we got podcasts for you there. Just click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows there, chronologically, latest show first, and you can listen at your leisure. You can listen over and over and over again. It's great. It's great therapy. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, you know that with 2020, there were all kinds of questions about certain states, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And we are taking a look today at what happened in Wisconsin to I don't know, raise your ears and eyes about possible voter fraud. The Racine County, Wisconsin Sheriff's Office has detailed the results of an investigation into a complaint about nursing home voter fraud. Evidence of voter fraud by stealing elderly Americans' votes. The presentation by the police provided the context and texture to the discrete aspect of the irregularities that took place. Basically, what they were doing is they were going around to nursing homes and giving voter cards out for them to vote and encouraging them to vote. These are older people now, to vote a certain way. Then they would collect all of these votes. That's ballot harvesting in its own way, and take them over to the precinct. Now, this is why I never liked the idea of people collecting other people's votes. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't even like the idea of mail-in votes because somebody else is tampering with my ballot. You just don't know. You don't know if it makes, hopefully it makes its way safely. I think in most all cases it does. But if you've got a close election, my friend, and you got mail-in voting, wouldn't you worry? I would worry. I would worry about how many of those votes might be wrong, might be illegal, or might something wrong with them. So this was going on apparently in Wisconsin. They have absentee voting in Wisconsin, and the trick is to get around it to some extent. The Wisconsin Election Code provides exclusive means of absentee voting in residential care facilities. It requires the local municipality to dispatch voting deputies to a facility. They must then personally deliver a ballot to the residents and must witness their vote. The statute further provides only a relative or a deputy may assist the voter, if need be, in filling out the ballot. And this is where it all comes into a little bit of a problem. During the process, there has been charges that these people were unduly influenced. Let's face it, a lot of these people, you know, they're at a point in their life where they're not thinking as clearly as they used to. And so they're hoping that you help them, but maybe you're not helping them for altruistic purposes. You know, you might be guiding their, it's like, hey, grandma, just sign your name to the will right here. You know, I typed it up for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's exactly what you want.
It's kind of like what Joe Biden's going through right now.
Yes.
Just sign here, Joe.
Hey, Joe, we got it on the teleprompter. All you got to do, Joe, is read it. It's just what you want. It's what you wanted to say.
Why don't we have the voting on a Saturday when most people don't work?
That's a good question, Ed. Here's what I think is the reason they don't. I think they think, or at least they did think, because back then they never did anything but go to the poll to vote, you know, when it came up, that they wanted people out and about. And on a Saturday, a lot of people would go, I don't care. I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to do the lawn, or, you know, I don't want to get out. I don't want to leave and get in my car and do it. And yet, if people are out and about, like on a Tuesday is the day that everybody is out doing things. I think that's kind of where that came
people
from.
People said they can't get to the polls because they work. You know, it's one or the other.
I never experienced an issue.
You never see it on TV.
I mean,
there are lines. You know,
the companies always said, look, plus you can go before and after, but I mean, it could be a little bit of a hardship. A little bit.
I think Saturday, because people say, well, why don't we make Tuesday a holiday? Well, that costs money.
Yeah.
So why not just make Saturday the voting day?
Do you think as many people would vote?
Yes, I do. I think more people would vote. I do. I really do.
Okay. Yeah, might be. I'm not sure. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I was flipping around. I was watching the World Series. I'll be honest. I was kind of rooting for Atlanta.
Yeah. I was rooting for anybody but Houston.
Anybody but Houston. I think a lot of people were. And they really came through 7-0. Did you watch any of the game?
I watched the last out.
The last out.
I just wanted to see.
I
wanted to see the frowny faces on the cheaters.
Yeah.
So.
And you're talking, of course, about sign stealing.
And especially do it in their house.
true. A 7-0
got to do it in Houston.
Wow.
Hurts even more.
And they did it in six. Okay.
That's like losing twice.
Yeah. All right. Well, congrats to the Atlanta Braves. All right, we've got this. These are the top 10 most anxious cities in America. Now, this comes from the U.S. Census Bureau. They actually came up with a way of figuring this out. They actually took the 15 largest metro areas in the country to do this. So these are 10 of the top 15. And it had to do with adults. They surveyed adults about whether or not they felt nervous, anxious, or on edge for at least several days during the past 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks were between September the 29th and October the 11th. So why they did this, I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. Here we go. Number 10, Detroit, Michigan. 43.9% of adults were anxious or on edge in Detroit, Michigan. Number 9, Los Angeles, California. 46.1% were anxious or on edge in L.A. Numbers
probably had to do with traffic.
Yeah, that's always a problem there in the Southern California. It's a mess. There was a tie on this one, but roll the drum. This is actually two cities that tied for 7th. Phoenix, 46.3%, and the Windy City. Chicago, 46.3%. I can speak from personal experience in Chicago. I can see why they're nervous and anxious. Mm-hmm. They got that crazy Beetlejuice mayor over there. That would drive me nuts, right?
They're dodging gunshots, too.
Yes. All right, number 6. Well, of course, Washington, D.C.
Politicians.
I mean, I think if you lived in Washington, D.C. and worked for the government, it would shorten your life, actually. All right, number 5. San Francisco. Well, we got homeless. Mm. What else we got? We got nonsense there. That's what we got. We got crazy people there. We got politicians that don't know what they're doing
there. Sanctuary city.
We got Nancy Pelosi. Of course they're nuts. 47.7% of them are anxious. Number 4. Philadelphia. Oh, my goodness. Philadelphia is at 48% anxious. You ever been to Philadelphia?
No.
Okay. Well, a lot of them are nervous, apparently. Number 3.
They hate Santa Claus, too.
They do? Why?
Remember they threw snowballs at Santa Claus during the game?
Yeah. They hate everybody. Philadelphia fans, for some reason, are mean.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 is Boston. Oh, they could be mean, too, a little bit.
Especially since Brady left.
Yeah. 48.8% of people are nervous or on edge in Boston. Number 2. Houston. Well, Houston right now, they're very... Well, I don't know if they're nervous or on edge anymore. They're just downright depressed.
Yeah.
They lost in 50.5%. 50.5% of Houstonites are nervous, anxious, or on edge. All right, Ed. Let me give you a hint. There was a lot of police trouble.
New York.
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Seattle, Washington is the worst. 54.5% of people in Seattle are nervous, anxious, or on edge. The adults there. Now, Seattle's a wonderful city. I've been there several times. But boy, have things changed there.
So you mean it used to be a beautiful city?
Yeah, like a lot of other cities, like San Francisco and Chicago and New York used to be. Anyway, thank you so very much. We hope you have a wonderful day. We'll be back on Friday. Please remember, freedom works.